You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with David Fields, co-founder of Ascendant Consulting, where he works with individual consultants and consulting firms across the globe that are eager to accelerate growth, increase profit, and create lucrative, lifestyle-friendly practices. Mr. Fields, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you. It's a delight to be here.
And it is our pleasure to have you as well. Thanks for your time. So for starters, you talk a lot about right-side-up thinking. Could you explain what that is to kick things off today?
Sure. Right-side-up thinking is my way of saying be customer-focused. In the world of consulting, perhaps the most important thing to realize and understand is consulting is not about you, the consultant. It's about them, the clients. And so learning to put clients first in every part of the process, which sounds easy, but it actually can be a little difficult. When you master that, the whole business of winning clients, whether you're a consultant or probably in any kind of professional service, it becomes much easier.
And one of the techniques in the book I appreciated is the turn. Tell us when to use it and why that works.
Sure. The turn really, let me back up just a moment. The turn solves a problem. And the problem is, let's say you have some sort of social relationship with someone, but you feel like they could be a good business contact. Well, how do you transition from a social relationship to a potential business conversation without it feeling really awkward and uncomfortable? And that's a very common problem, and there's good reason for that awkwardness, because they're kind of in two different worlds, a social world and a business world. And the turn is how you bridge that gap. So the turn is really based on seven words, which is, are you open to a separate conversation? Now, those seven words accomplish two things. One, they create separation between the business world and the social world, and they give agency, they give the decision to the person you're speaking to. So if you wrap those seven words into maybe a little bit longer framework, it might sound like, Eric, I've really enjoyed our conversations. One of those things you brought up is actually something we do as a firm. Would you be open to a separate conversation where we discuss that and how we might be able to help you achieve your goal? So that's what the turn is. It's really this bridge between social and business. And it just, when you learn it, it's like this breath of relief, because you can finally seamlessly, not awkwardly, transition from social to business conversations.
Good stuff. And I was also surprised to read that you don't believe consultants should differentiate. Why is that?
Yeah, I get asked that a lot. And I should let you know, I'm a classically trained marketer. I mean, before I was in consulting 20 years ago, I was in brand management for a blue chip company. And I learned, you know, differentiation is everything. That's the first rule of marketing, differentiate. Well, that first rule doesn't apply in consulting, because clients actually aren't looking for a consultant who's different. They're looking for a credible, reliable solution. They're not looking for different. They're looking for solved. And so consultants who say, oh, well, look, I've got this special whiz-bang 30-step process, and it's different from everyone else, that doesn't actually engender the kind of emotions and sense of trust that you'd hope. Instead, the prospect kind of squints and goes, I don't know if that's not tested. I don't think I want to use that. You see, with like toothpaste, you know, every toothpaste on the shelf will do the basics. It will do what it promises to. It'll prevent cavities and make your breath a little fresher. And so since every toothpaste does that, toothpaste manufacturers have to differentiate. They have to come up with something new and different and better. But in consulting, the clients don't believe that consultants will necessarily fulfill on their basic promise, because every executive has hired someone from the outside and had the project fail. So they're not looking for different. They're just looking for really reliable and credible. They want to believe you can solve their problem, not differently, but you'll get it done. And that's why differentiation is, you know, maybe great for other places. It's the wrong place to focus for consultants.
And that really does make a lot of sense. And also, popular self-help books all tell us to look inside to build our self-confidence. You say that's the wrong place to look. Why do you say that? Certainly looking forward to hearing your response.
Yeah, that's a great question. That actually brings us right back to where you started, which is right side up thinking, realizing that it's not about you, it's about them. And yeah, I know the self-help and psychologists will probably all take me to task for saying this, because you're supposed to just be have your internal locus and believe internally that you're great. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't actually matter what you think about yourself. And in fact, self-confidence doesn't come from looking inside. It's the lack of self-confidence that comes from paying too much attention to yourself. If you just look outside at what prospects want, what the market needs, where the problems are, where people are paying, and what they think is of value, and you address that, then you can be confident. When your prospects or your clients say, hey, you know what, David, this was outstanding, thank you so much. Well, that's a reason to be confident. Not because you think you're great, because your clients think you are great. So that's why I say, you know, don't look inside. That's the wrong direction. Maybe it works for self-help books. Maybe it works for other things. But in business and in our business, it doesn't matter what you think about yourself. So confidence from yourself, who cares? You want to build confidence on what the market thinks and what the market thinks of you.
I like it. Brilliant thinking. Today we are joined by David Fields, co-founder of Ascendant Consulting, where he works with individual consultants and consulting firms across the globe that are eager to accelerate growth, increase profit, and create lucrative lifestyle-friendly practices here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Now, David, you've claimed that many consultants who think they need to be in front of more prospects actually are misunderstanding their problem. Can you explain that a little further?
Sure. This actually came up yesterday, believe it or not. I got an email from a consultant who was saying, you know, how do I meet more people? I need to be more run more prospects. I'm just moved to a new town and it's kind of rural. Actually, this consultant happened to be in Germany. but there's nowhere, you know, I just need to be in front of more people. And I know what I want to do. It's just that I can't get in front of people. And my reaction to that consultant was the same as my reaction to most consultants who say, oh, wow, I just need to be in front of more people. In all likelihood, you don't. For most consultants who think they have a visibility problem, they actually have an impact problem, meaning you're in front of enough people. It's just what you're saying isn't having any impact. I'm embarrassed to admit this, not completely embarrassed because this was a long time ago, but when I was a little kid, I played in Little League. I was the only kid in Little League to have a zero batting average. I could not hit the ball to save my life. I would have had a higher batting average if I had just put the bat down on home plate and let those pitchers, you know, occasionally throw it and just hit the bat. I couldn't hit it. And it didn't matter how many pitches I saw, I couldn't hit the ball. And that's where a lot of consultants are. It's not really about getting in front of more people. It's about understanding the market better and talking to the right people about the right problem and then bringing the right solution. So the first step actually isn't to figure out how to get in front of more people. The first step is to maximize your impact so that when you're in front of a prospect, that prospect stops and says, wow, I actually have that problem. Can we talk more? Well, that makes it easy. That's why it's not really visibility. That's why it's impact in many cases.
Great explanation there. And also tell us more about the five marketing musts.
Sure. The five marketing musts in this business are speaking, writing, trade associations, digital presence, and networking. And you don't have to be great at all five, and I'll just say them quickly again, and they're not mutually exclusive. Speaking, writing, trade associations, digital presence, and networking. If you are if you can't do any of them, if you're afraid to get on stage, you're afraid to get out and talk with people, you can't write, you know, a postcard, you don't know what social media is, and you're not going to join a trade association, you're going to struggle mightily in this business. But if you can do networking, which is a must, absolute must, and you can do at least one of those other, if you can get up on stage or you can write pretty well, or you're willing to be active in a trade association, or you can make yourself really present and visible online, you can build a business. So there are a lot of ways to market a business. There are a lot of ways to get out there. In the advice-giving business, those five I just mentioned, those are the key. On top of networking, you need to be out there speaking and or writing and or participating in a trade association, which might seem Mickey Mouse compared to the others. But what I know from working with a whole lot of consulting firms is trade associations drive business, or being out there sort of on the interwebs, as they're called now. So that's what those five marketing musts are about.
And thanks, David, for sharing those five marketing musts with the audience. Now, I thought most consultants charge an hourly rate, at least that's what I thought. You suggest that often it's not the best way to charge. Why is that?
Sure. I mean, that's frequently not the best way. It's not in the best interest often of the client. And a lot of my business is advising clients on how to hire consultants. That's how I got into the business of working with consultants. If you're charging by the hour, you're charging by the day, you have inherent in that some incentive to take more hours, to take more time, to take more days. And there's a focus on how much time you're spending on the project. But the client's best interests aren't served by spending more time on the project. And the client's focus should not be on how much time you're spending. It should simply be on the results. That's where you should both be focused, on the results and the value that you're creating for your clients. And so if you create a fee structure that's built around those results, whether it's a fixed fee or a success-based fee or some sort of hybrid, then you're both going for the same goal. Then you're aligned, and that's a much, much better case. The clients like to pay by the hour and put a cap on it. And that is the single worst possible fee structure. It's bad for the client, and it's bad for the consultant. So whenever I can get clients and consultants out of that, it's a good step. In most projects where it's not commodity, if we can get people thinking about the, you know, not the input, the time, but just about what's a fair fee for this work or for the value that's being created, and leave it at that, that's going to be a much better fee structure. It's better value for the client and more lucrative for the consultant.
I would be curious, are your tips only good for certain size consulting firms, or do they apply to everyone?
That's an interesting question. They certainly apply for any firm that's under $100 million, call it, which gets you every solo firm and most boutiques. When you get up to, $500 million, $1 billion, those kind of mega consulting firms, what I found is, well, one, it must work some because those folks all use the techniques that I write about. But business does get a little bit different, and developing business gets a little bit different if you're in a mega firm. But shy of that, if you're in a firm that's under $100 million, these are right on the mark. For any size firm under that.
I also like the section called Become the Obvious Choice. If you had to sum that section up in just a word or two for my listeners, what would that be?
Wow. Summarizing Become the Obvious Choice, and of course that's what you want to do. If you're in the hunt for a project, you want to become the obvious choice. I can summarize that in one word, actually. And that one word is discovery. What I mean by that is if you can discover, you can understand your prospect better than anyone else, better than anyone else who's hunting for that project, better perhaps even than the prospect himself, then it becomes easy for you to tailor a solution that makes you the obvious choice. So becoming the obvious choice is all about discovery. It's all about understanding. It's all about putting that client first. Let's go back to where we started, right side up thinking. Putting the client first and understanding the client. That's what becoming the obvious choice is about. And that's why I would sum it up in that one word, discovery.
And I like that response. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, final words, takeaways, or one last tip for the listeners today?
Well, final thoughts. First of all, for those who are consultants that are listening, this is just an outstanding business. Couldn't be a better time to be a consultant. For those who are thinking about hiring consultants, I would encourage you to use outside expertise. It's how you make your business grow. And on both sides, focus on results. Don't focus on the inputs. Focus on the outputs. If you're a consultant, be right side up. As long as you put the client first, you're headed in the right direction.
David, tremendous information shared here today. We really appreciate all the information shared per your expertise as well as your time. If you would, before you go, tell our listeners where we can get more information on Ascendant Consulting and how could one reach out?
Well, they can always go to my website, davidafields.com, or if they're interested in the book, which a lot of this conversation was sparked by, you can go to winclientsnow.com. winclientsnow.com, and that takes you to right to the book, and this and plenty more sitting inside that book.
Once again, David, it has been our pleasure to have had you. Continued success, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Enjoy your day.
And you as well. We have been speaking with David Fields, co-founder of Ascendant Consulting, where he works with individual consultants and consulting firms across the globe that are eager to accelerate growth, increase profit, and create lucrative lifestyle-friendly practices. And for more information, visit either davidafields.com or winclientsnow.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.